Hi, I'm Doug Gordon.
And I'm Sarah Goodyear, and we are the co-authors of Life After Cars, Freeing Ourselves from the Tyranny of the Automobile.
If you think about it, cars are probably the most significant invention in the history of humanity. They influence nearly every aspect of our lives, every day of our lives, from where we live and how we get around, to how we interact with our fellow citizens, and how we experience the community around us. They define the shape of our cities, affect our own health and safety, and have significant effects on our environment and our climate.
And yet, other than when we're stuck in traffic, pay off our monthly car payments, see the price of gas at the pump, or God forbid, get into a crash, most people never give much thought to the ways in which cars affect them, even when they're not driving. What we set out to do with Life After Cars was to get people to understand cars and what they do to us like never before, and to learn from the people, places, and ideas that are working to reimagine a world where cars are not the dominant force in our lives.
We're going to share 5 key insights from our book and how reimagining our relationship with automobiles can make individuals and even society happier, healthier, and safer.
First, learn to see cars. Like we alluded to in our intro, cars are everywhere, yet we don't tend to see them. As big as they are, cars have become essentially invisible to us because they are such a deeply ingrained feature of modern life. So start looking harder. Try walking in a place you would normally only consider driving through carefully, and allow yourself to feel the magnitude of the effects cars have. Sit in a park, close your eyes, and start to listen. Chances are your ears will never be free of the sound of passing cars not far away. Look at the car storage along the curb on your street, and imagine what that space could be used for if those gigantic hunks of metal weren't there. Leave your car at the edge of a parking lot, walk across the asphalt, and ask yourself whether this can be considered a place worth being in, and if this is the best use of our precious land.
Second, cars ruin childhood. In 1969, nearly 50% of kids in the U.S. between the ages of 5 and 14 walked or biked to school. Today, it's around 11%. According to the CDC, only 24% of children aged 6 to 17 get the recommended 60 minutes of physical activity every day. A lot of that has to do with the ways in which we've made it hard, if not impossible, for kids to get anywhere other than in a car. This is really bad for their health, and it's also bad for their sense of independence. Bruce Appleyard, an urban designer and professor of city planning, worked with 9 and 10-year-old children from 2 suburban communities. One had streets with light traffic, where kids were generally able to walk and bike on their own. The other had heavy traffic, where the kids there traveled almost exclusively in a parent's car. Using a technique called cognitive mapping, Appleyard asked the kids in each community to draw maps of their neighborhoods and include destinations that were important to them, such as schools and their friends' homes, as well as natural markers like trees. In the community with heavy traffic, the children were unable to represent any detail of the surrounding environment. Meanwhile, the kids in the community with light traffic created far more detailed maps. They drew more of the streets, houses, trees, and other objects, and included fewer signs of danger and fewer cars. Their maps also noted 43% more locations where they played than the maps drawn by kids in the neighborhood with heavy traffic. So, long story short, kids really deserve safe streets where they can get around independently.
Third, no matter how old we are, cars make us lonely. In 1969, UC Berkeley professor Donald Appleyard studied 3 different streets in the same part of San Francisco with automotive traffic that he characterized as heavy, medium, and light. What he discovered was that car traffic eroded, and in some cases destroyed, the delicate human social environment of the streets he was looking at. The more cars, the worse the damage. On the heavy traffic street, people reported an almost total absence of interaction with their neighbors. On the light traffic street, people had three times as many local friends and twice as many acquaintances as those on the heavy street. And on the medium street, Appleyard noticed that rising traffic was endangering the already fragile relationships that existed there. In effect, it appeared that cars were killing the human social life on heavy to medium traffic streets. Appleyard and his team even found that more people cited concerns about traffic degrading their neighborhoods than about crime. Humans are social creatures. As much as cars can get us to work, to school, or to the grocery store, cars make our need to connect to other humans where we live harder. Building places where cars aren't omnipresent is a great way to build stronger connections among people.
Fourth, our love affair with automobiles was more like an arranged marriage. You've probably heard that Americans have a love affair with automobiles, but the early history tells a very different story. In 1910, 2 years after the introduction of the Model T, nearly 1,600 people died in motor vehicle crashes. In 1920, it was 12,155 people, and by 1924, it was 18,400 people. The crisis was so obvious and so widespread that the New York Times ran a story that same year headlined "Nation Roused Against Motor Killings" above an illustration of a caped figure with a skull for a face driving a massive open-topped car over a crowd of terrified people, mostly women and children. The caption, "The Grim Reaper drives a car." Even the saying America's love affair with automobiles didn't spring out of nowhere. It was pushed on Americans. As University of Virginia historian Peter Norton discovered, the phrase was popularized by a television special that aired in 1961 on NBC. It was called "Merrily We Roll Along" and starred comedian Groucho Marx. The special was sponsored by DuPont, which at the time owned a 23% stake in General Motors. In the special, Groucho says that our love affair with the automobile started long ago and that it changed our whole way of life. He repeated the phrase so much that it became part of the popular lexicon almost overnight. So the next time you hear someone say Americans have a love affair with cars, you can tell them about this early history.
Fifth, to get to life after cars, find your people. If you've ever thought that you're alone in questioning the role of cars in society, you might be surprised with how many people agree with you. So find your people. If you're on social media, start following like-minded folks to learn about what is going on nationally and internationally so you can bring those ideas home. If you're not into social media, local bike stores organize group rides for people of all abilities. Join a local pedestrian, cycling, or transit advocacy group or local parks conservancy. You'll almost certainly meet some people who get it and who can help you start to reimagine streets so they are safe places for walking, cycling, or connecting with others. Finding your people can help confirm that the problem isn't with you, it's with cars.
Thanks so much for listening, and we really hope you enjoy the book.